This is the week of November 20th. And the music of Chrissy Cochran. The name of the song is Marlena. Hi there. Welcome back to another edition of the Marlena program, right here at the Mainstream on ACB Radio. We're here this time every week, so I'm looking forward to having you come in, sit down, take your shoes off, put your feet up, get your favorite beverage, and just get comfortable with us for the next 2 hours. We'll be taking your calls at 866-666-7926, and we want to hear about whatever's on your mind. So come on in and give me a call, won't you? Right here on Marlena. Oh, and this week we are gonna talk turkey with the Chief Turkey. Who's the Chief Turkey? I'll give you three guesses, and the first two don't count. Hang in there, because here he comes now, the very, very cheapest of all the turkeys. We're going to bring him up. We're going to pop the music down. Welcome, Dale Campbell, to another edition of Marlena.
Hey, thanks, Marlena, for everybody out there in Turkey Land. I'll say it now because Cheryl can't say it for us. It's the wango de tango de turkey time.
Oh, my gosh. How are you? How are you, Mr. Cooking in the Dark?
Oh, man, we are doing great. I'm doing even better because I've got this Thanksgiving off.
Oh, you're not going to cook?
I'm going to make stuffing. Last year we had 26 people here, and I cooked all day.
Oh, no.
So I figure, I'm owed about 26 Thanksgiving dinners. Somehow my math doesn't equal their math. You know how that works.
Yeah,
I
have that same problem around here. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, but, you know, it was fun. I mean, last year we smoked a couple turkeys. We fried a turkey. And the best part is we had turkey leftovers.
Oh, boy. So tonight, can we talk about making the turkey and then what to do with leftovers? And
man, we can talk about that. We can talk about all kinds of cool stuff. And, in fact, if you are a member of the Cooking in the Dark list, I will be sending you, or I will be sending you, I guess, the list, all the copies of my notes. For preparing turkeys, for buying turkeys, for reading the dates, for deep frying, for smoking, for grilling, for brining. I've got it all.
Wow. Well, you know what? Before we talk about turkeys, let's talk a little bit about the list and about cooking in the dark. And, you know, there might be one person who doesn't know what we're talking about. There might be one.
Well, yeah, that's almost the number. Well, we've got 22 listeners now. Yeah, buddy, a fellow named Mario here in Houston called me up and he goes, man, you got me in trouble.
Uh-oh.
I go, how'd I do that?
Uh-oh.
And he goes, well, you were talking about doing all that smoking, and I told my daughter I'd smoke her a brisket for her birthday, and I went to go buy a smoker, and they didn't have any.
Uh-oh.
And he looked all over Houston, couldn't find a smoker, so how do I do it in the oven? So I hooked him up, told him how to do it, and anyway, I talked to him again a couple days ago, and everything came out perfect. He saved face.
Oh.
But cooking in the dark, y'all, is a hoot. We get together in the kitchen once a week, and we're heard on reading radio services around the country. We're also heard right here on ACB Radio, following your show.
Actually, you're heard
1 hour removed from following your show.
Yeah,
right?
you're heard just before my show.
We are.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I know. You know, it gets everybody all mixed up with the UTC and the
time change, man.
Oh man.
You wouldn't believe what I went through with my vet. Anybody, I tell you what, yeah, that's a whole nother show right there, man.
Oh,
but,
no.
Yeah, it's been a crazy, crazy week. That's right, we're on after the handymen move their stuff out.
That's right.
Got to sweep up and get that sawdust out of there.
I know, I don't know how you cook in that kitchen with all that sawdust in there.
I know, man, it's a mess.
Man.
Well, they roll in one studio and roll out another one, you know. But, we started cooking in the dark, like, in June of 2003. And it was a monthly show, And then in September of last year, we started doing it weekly, and we're just rolling right along.
And, of course, you have the able assistance of Tim Cummings as your producer.
Oh, he does a great job
taking
all of our stuff and our mumbo-jumbo and about our hour and a half or 2 hours of recording and putting it all together and making an hour show out of it for us.
And then Cheryl puts on your good public face.
She does. Bless her heart. She puts up with me. Doesn't have, you know, she was close enough when we had a live show in Houston the first weekend of November. And she was close enough then. They flew in and she was close enough that if she rolled her eyes, I could have got her.
Well,
but I put her to work a little bit. She trimmed some mushrooms for me and hooked us up. Man, we had a great time. We gave away giveaways and everything. But that show will air the next week. The week after Thanksgiving, we've got the live show coming.
Okay.
And then next week for Thanksgiving, we've got pies. Jan Sturbins, one of our list members on Cooking in the Dark, came in and did a pumpkin pie with us, and then I did a chocolate and a pecan pie.
Oh, how cool.
So that's a lot of fun. And that's, you know, Cooking in the Dark, the listserv, we've got members probably from across the globe.
Yeah,
New Zealand, Australia, Canada, you know, up there in Canada.
Yeah, Canada, yeah.
Well, it's just north of Dallas here, you know.
Well, anything's north of Dallas.
Anything north of Centerville, I feel, is, you know, Yankeeville.
Yeah, there you go.
Dallas people. Anyway, no, Dallas
go.
People are good folk.
There
they
you go.
They just live in Dallas.
Well, it's a great list, folks, and I'm actually on that list, although I haven't been doing very much of anything lately except reading it because I've been
Maybe all you have time to do.
I tell you, it is a phenomenal list. We got into a discussion one time about what's that stuff, that cookware. That foldable cookware.
Oh yes, the silicone.
Yeah, silicone cookware. And,
yes.
And that's. I mean, we'll just talk about anything as it relates.
Oh, it's great. I mean, we get people. I mean, if you have a question on how to do something, or you've got some ingredients, throw it out. You need it, you need a recipe, put it up there. You have a tip or need some help. The members are great. I mean, one thing we don't. We basically say no question is a stupid question.
Yeah.
You know, it
yeah.
doesn't matter because if you know the answer, you wouldn't be asking.
Well,
and just because somebody knows and somebody doesn't, we don't tolerate any of that BS or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all there to help each other out and have fun.
And, you know, last time you were on my show back in May, I can't believe it's been that long.
Good night.
But back in May, we had a caller who said, well, you know, I don't really cook that much, and as a blind person, I'm not sure. Well, let me tell you, this is not a list, and Cooking in the Dark is not a show only for the person who does cook. It's for anybody who is blind or even not blind, but who wants tips, ideas. Nothing is too basic, right?
No. I mean, we've done shows just as simple as frying an egg.
Yeah.
Or cooking bacon.
Yeah. Oh, I love that cooking bacon show.
Coming up, I mean, in January, we've got chili plan from scratch. I've done a tortilla soup that is nothing more than opening some cans.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, you're right. I mean, we do some very simple stuff and we do some more exotic stuff, but bottom line, it's all good. I mean, it's fun. And believe me, folks, if I can do it, you can do it.
And I'll echo that. If I can do it, you can
do
it.
That's right. Ain't nothing to. What's the motto? You don't need sight to cook
dinner tonight. That's right.
Just get in there and hop in it and do it. And in fact, Marlena, I've got a little special. Just before you guys called me up, I was in the website doing some backdoor, getting the mice woken up and getting them moving.
Yeah, I heard that scrabbling. Yeah.
Yeah, nice. We have got, what I've done, I've put talking cooking thermometers on sale for $27.50 and free shipping.
Ooh.
And what I'm going to do is I will ship these priority mail so that you can have them in time for Thanksgiving.
Wow, that's
for
a
your
great
turkey.
Deal. That's a great
in addition,
deal.
The cooking aprons, the Cooking in the Dark aprons, we've knocked off to $25. They're normally $30.
And let me tell you guys, people love those aprons. I bought 3 of them last year and gave them as Christmas presents to sighted people. And it says you don't need sight to cook dinner tonight. And it's got the mice with the glasses.
It's got our barbecues on the cover.
Yeah,
I mean, he's on the chest. It's a full apron with a bib and a little loop over your neck.
It's very cool.
I tell you what, the pockets. the pockets on them are the best.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm putting my measuring spoons or cups or, you know, I mean, being blind and cooking half the time, it's like, all right, where'd I put that at? You know, because you set something down and you don't really think about it. Like, oh, crap.
It's got legs.
Where to go?
It walked
away.
And
then I say, all right, dang mice.
Yeah, where'd those mice put it? And of course, if people, when they check out, use ACB Radio as their coupon code.
Well, here's the other thing. Yeah. If they will put ACB Radio in the coupon code at checkout, the $7.50 that they that will be charged for shipping on the aprons, I will donate to ACB Radio.
Oh, my gosh. Thank
you.
So you
can get an apron and a thermometer, have it there in time for Thanksgiving if you get this order placed tonight or tomorrow.
Whoa.
Because it'll have to hit the mail tomorrow afternoon to be out there by Wednesday.
Oh, my gosh. What a wonderful way to get something you need for Thanksgiving and help ACB Radio to boost.
And help AC. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
That's what Blind Mice is here for, man. We're here to help and do what we can do. I mean, you know, that's why we give away. Heck, we might be giving away almost $2,500 in scholarships
wow.
this year. Thanks to the support of everybody else.
Well,
you know
what?
That's how it works.
You know what? Speaking of help, we have a caller. Should we bring
him
in?
All right.
All right. We haven't even got to the recipes yet, and we've got a caller. Let's bring him in. Hey there. Welcome to the Thanksgiving Day party on Marlena with Dale. Who's this?
Well, this is Stan.
Oh, Stan, the man from Oregon.
You know, I got to tell you, he stuck in there when he started talking about chili earlier because, if you know, I love doing bean soups.
Oh, I know. Hey, Dale, this guy has some killer bean recipes.
Right on.
It's just fun because you have the, you know, I'll sometimes get the relatives over, some of them, and we'll, you know, put out some of my little concoctions together and have maybe a beverage or two and enjoy.
You've got to have a beverage when people come over.
Of course.
At least one.
At least one. Shake and not stirred is my preference.
Exactly. I mean, I don't plan on doing any driving.
So Stan the man, what kind of, what is your favorite bean soup to make?
I like to do one with some nice good old ham hocks in them.
Oh yeah, man.
Oh.
Let it cook all day?
Oh yeah. In the crock
pot. Now, you know, that takes, my grandma used to make a big old pot of navy beans.
And
with that big old ham hock in there, and man.
Well, see,
as soon as you hit the house, I mean, you'd hit the house in mid afternoon and you could not wait till dinner time.
And of course, we're starting to get the weather, and Marlena could definitely talk about this part. We're starting to get with the weather where soups are very conducive.
We're floating away, my dears. Yes.
Yes.
And it's just, you know, really, and I must touch on something, too. And I, recently I took the plunge and purchased, because I had a microwave at one time, and the Tonka one that I had didn't last nearly as long as it should have. I'm not going to go any further than that.
Huh.
But the new one that sold through Walmart is just really a wonderful unit. And it's a very inexpensive one. It's about $90 worth of shipping.
It's the Hamilton Beach Temo, T-E-M-O.
It's the Temo, right.
The talking microwave. It is a special purchase model that was made for Walmart by Hamilton Beach. And they also made one for Best Buy.
Right.
Which, if you can still get, you'll be hard-pressed to find one in a Best Buy store around you.
I know.
But when I checked, this was 10 days ago, 11 days, I don't know, a week or two ago, it was still available online through BestBuy.com for $56.
Wow.
With shipping and handling, I think the total cost coming to me here was like $83.
But it's a wonderful unit for what it's able to do. Yes, you know, that versus nearly $400, I mean, I'll take that price any day.
I have one at Blind Mice we sell. It's a Magic Chef unit, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it blows that Gold Star one away. But, again, you just hit the hit. I mean, we sell it for $345 and we ship it free. But you can't, you know, it's a little bit bigger than this other one, but not for the difference in price.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
and
I mean, this Hamilton Beach, y'all. I mean, if you're still looking to get somebody a Christmas present, get one.
And the
get
thing
two.
Is, with the Hamilton
you know?
Beach, oh, excuse me, Dale,
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sam.
With the Hamilton Beach products, a lot of times you can find some good products of theirs at a reasonable price.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to go through like a coffee grinder, and I had one of those that, you know, was pretty good for the price you paid, and you don't have to pay big prices.
No.
Well, I'm really bummed because see, we just redid our kitchen, you know, just a year ago, and we have a beautiful microwave oven that is lower down so that Gary can access it, and it's all built in, and like, there's no way I can put that talking microwave oven in, and I am so bummed.
But you know, one of the things that we have to take, you know, a watch over too is a lot of the microwaves, as blind people, we cannot work. They're touch screens.
Yeah, well, this particular one I can work, but it takes a lot of labeling and a lot of memory, you know, on my part to remember, you know, every time I click the dial, it's 30 seconds, and then when I get to, you know, so much time, then it jumps to a minute a click. And, boy, if this talking microwave had been available a year and a half ago, I would have been in hog heaven.
And the one thing I will say, I'm going to try to, because sometimes I'll listen to the Cooking in the Dark show right before this one, and I have to remember, I had to go to the Cooking of the Dark list and probably, you know, sign up as a member sometimes I get a little upset because I get too much email, so I hate it.
And one thing with the Cooking in the Dark list, I mean, some people feel overwhelmed to have to reply to every message they get.
Oh, no.
You know, and don't do that. I mean, I tell you what, I'm the owner of the list, and I spend more time deleting messages than I do reading a lot of them.
Well, I enjoy your program when I have a chance to listen to it.
Well, great, man. We appreciate that. Gosh, I have to tell Cheryl, 23 listeners.
23 now. See, you didn't know about Stan.
You have a wonderful radio. I had to chime in and talk about that because I know you have I'm lucky now this Thanksgiving. I'm going to visit some relatives, and we're going out for Thanksgiving dinner, so we won't have to worry about that, but it's going to be really nice, but I had to check in.
Well, hey, I tell you what I want you to do, Stan. Drop
yes,
me an email to either dale@blindmysmart.com
okay,
or cookinginthedark-owner@acbradio.org, either one of those two email addresses, because I'd like to set up to have you on the show.
Oh, he'd make
have
a
you,
great
do a
guest.
Soup.
Dale, the one that's going to be easiest for me to remember, just because I'm not, dale@blindmysmart.org.
Dot com.
Yep.
Okay.
Or just go to blindmysmart.com,
okay,
and there's a link to email us.
I will do
that. And
that
comes directly to me. The mice don't read it. They don't read English too well. I'm trying to keep them off the computers.
I will.
They read mouselish.
But no,
yes,
I'll definitely do that because I'd love to share things with people.
Yeah. No. Hey, Dale. In fact, I was going to suggest that he'd make a great guest.
Oh yeah. I mean, we're always looking for for folks to come on the show and help out. And if you come on and you cook and I don't have to, that's even better.
Okay. Consider
all right,
deal,
man. Thanks for calling, Stan.
All right, Stan the man. Take care. Bye bye. All right,
let's talk about turkeys, Marlena.
All right,
go ahead and give that phone.
Yeah, let me just do a little bit of housekeeping, and then we're going to turkey it up. The number is 866-666-7926. We're going to ask this caller to hold just a second. And if you're listening to this program at any time other than 5 to 6 Pacific, 8 to 9 Eastern on a Sunday night in North America, or 1 to 2 Universal, if you're hearing us any time other than that, it's repeat. The number doesn't work. Get your note taker out because you're going to get yourself some fine recipes. Should we bring in this one caller and then we'll get to turkeys?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Come on in, caller. Welcome to the Thanksgiving Day party.
In fact, I'll ask him a question.
Here's Dale and Marlena.
Okay, is this me?
It's you.
Oh, good. This is Betty Emmons.
Hey, Betty. How are
Betty
you?
Betty Emmons.
Yeah.
Calling from?
Anthony,
man,
Kansas.
I'm trying to remember. You're in Kansas?
Yeah.
Anthony, Kansas. Now, what's that near that I might have heard of, Betty?
Wichita.
Missouri?
Actually, we're 12 miles above Oklahoma border.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome to the Marlena program.
Yeah, this is the second time.
Oh, well, welcome again.
I'm the lady that recommended that you take hot Dr. Pepper for your cold.
Oh, gosh, yes, how could I ever? I did that, Betty.
Oh, really?
It tasted terrible.
Yeah, I know, but, you know. No, the thing that I was going to say is I was going to do a little, I was going to tell Dale something. First of all, we had a down contest to cook Thanksgiving dinner.
Can I be a judge?
No, it's already been judged. I won.
Dang. Free eats.
I won.
You absolutely won?
Yes.
Well,
congratulations.
What did you cook?
Oh, I cooked the turkey, the dressing, the ham, just mashed potatoes, green beans.
All right, Betty, anytime anybody's a winner on my show, here's what they get. Ready?
Yeah. Oh.
We got a winner, Dale.
I'm telling you, the wango, the tango, the cookie contest winner.
But the thing about it is, what I wanted to say is, you know, I worked for 30 years at a library for the blind, and Dale has cookbooks that are in Braille and in other media that are so well done.
Oh, they're wonderful. I have a bunch of them.
Oh, I know. And he will probably be getting a call from me to order some more tomorrow. But they are very well done. They are not, you know, they're very well put together. And I would even recommend, I would recommend the Cooking in the Dark cookbook, which is a neat cookbook. And I'm glad. I didn't think I could almost get on to the show, but I did.
Well, we're glad
well,
you did.
Man, and you know what? Congratulations on winning that contest.
Yeah,
girl.
Yeah, that's fabulous.
See, you don't need sight to win a contest tonight.
Nope.
There
Way
you
to
go.
Girl.
All right, Betty. Well, happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Betty.
Okay.
Bye.
Hey,
bye-bye.
One thing Betty didn't mention about the Braille cookbooks that we have.
Yeah.
They're all on sale for an extra 20% off the mice price.
And you know what? Remember I made a mistake and bought two of one thing?
Oh, yeah,
You know what I did? I gave it away as a door prize at our convention this past week, and a student won it. And so I was so excited. So now,
perfect.
Now you might have 24 listeners.
Man, that is cool. Now, isn't that cool? Yeah, that's great. That is great.
All right, let's talk turkey.
Let's talk turkey. Let's talk buying a turkey.
All right.
Two kinds of turkeys you can buy. Live and dead. No.
Dale! Oh! How did Cheryl put up with you?
I mean, you can buy a fresh turkey, or you can buy a frozen turkey. Now, one thing that's great about this time of year that I look for is all the sales. If you buy so much of groceries, you know, you get a free turkey.
Yeah.
And I'll make a couple trips to pick up a few extra birds, but I've got a chest freezer to store them in. Because a frozen turkey, y'all, you can store up to a year. Now, if it's a thawed bird, you know, a fresh bird, you can't store it up to a year.
Yeah, no, not
you
hardly.
You need to get that dude cooking there real quick. But when you go to thaw your bird, there's a couple methods for thawing it. One is the recommended method is the slow process, the refrigerator method, where it takes about 4 to 5 days to thaw, you know, a 16 to 20 pound bird.
I've got a 10 pound bird in the freezer. When should I take it out?
You should have it in the refrigerator now.
Uh-oh, Gary, go put it in the refrigerator.
What they say is about 4 to 5 pounds per day.
Okay.
Now, when we did all those birds last year, I had them in there for about 5 days, and they were like about 14 pound birds, and they were still frozen. In the middle. So I had to do the quick process, which the quick process is basically you fill your sink with cool water and put the bird in it.
Now,
and about every 30 minutes you want to change the water and change, you know, and flip the bird over.
People are tempted to use warm water. Why should they use cool water?
Warm water will actually, it could cause bacteria and nasty stuff to grow in your bird. The warm water will actually, the same reason why when I was reading this, now I've smoked up to a 24-pound bird before, and in preparing for the show, I kind of started reading about some, you know, smoking tips and things like that, and it's recommended not to smoke a bird over 12 to 13 pounds for the same reason, because it gets out of that safe temperature range.
Sure.
And I was like, wow, okay. You know, I never thought about that, but it makes perfect sense. You know, especially smoking, because smoking, you smoke at such a, you know, you don't smoke at a very high temperature.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, you know, that on the thawing process. Yeah, about a 12-pound bird. Anybody know out there how many people that'll feed?
Oh, my gosh. I know.
Basically, the rule of thumb is 1 pound per person.
Really?
Yeah. And that'll give you enough for a little bit of leftovers.
Wow.
So you can have that cool turkey sandwich, or you can make that, you know, turkey and dumplings.
And the leftovers are a big part of it. Hey, we have a caller.
All right.
Bring him in as I clear my throat. I'm so professional, I can't stand myself. Hey there, you're with Dale and Marlena for the Thanksgiving Day Turkey Talk. Who's this? Oh, my God, it's a turkey.
It's Tom.
Hey, it's me, the real turkey of the show, too.
Oh, it's Dr. Bishop the turkey.
Hey, have you ever killed a turkey, Dale?
Yes.
Have you?
Yeah.
Would you like to hear a very funny story about when I was young and we killed a turkey?
Sure.
Go for it.
My dad decided that he wanted to raise a turkey for Thanksgiving. Now, we had chickens. And so we already had a coop and everything. So we went out to the turkey farm. And the way that my dad decided on what turkey was the one that pooped last.
Oh, dear.
So we got this turkey in the, and we had a station wagon. And I sat, you know, so there's two seats, right? There's the bench seat in the front and the bench seat in the back, and in the back there's a big open, you know, thing where you can store stuff. So they blindfolded the turkey and they put him in the back, and I sat, you know, in the back with my brother as this turkey pranced around in the back.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. Well, so it came time for Turkey Day, or close to it anyway. And now suffice it to say, my dad really, you know, he'd never raised turkeys. So this was all kind of new. Of course, he's killed chickens, and chickens are kind of easy because they're small. Well, relatively, compared to a turkey. And so I can remember they're going out there with the axe and everything, and they're going to chop off the turkey's head. Well, suffice it to say, they got the head off, but the turkey still lived for quite some time.
Oh, dear. Oh, my gosh.
And they let go of it. And it ran around the backyard.
Yeah, it'll run around for a little while.
And fell in the swimming pool. Yep. And
you know, you
pool,
need to get it out of there
because
turkeys can drown in the swimming pool.
Yeah. Especially headless.
That reminds me, there was a whole cartoon about a guy who's a blind guy. He's out there. He got his cane cruising through, you know, he's on his farm in the turkey pen looking
I've
for turkeys.
I've got this cartoon.
I heard this one. This is great.
And all the, you know, all the turkeys are saying, moo.
Yeah, moo. Moo. I have that cartoon, and I send it around at Thanksgiving to people that haven't seen it yet, and people just crack up.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So I hate turkey, actually.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I like ham for Thanksgiving.
Well, ham's good, too, but...
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And the main reason is because of the experience of having to deal with deplucking the bird and helping getting it ready to cook. And it was a rather... I never liked gooey things, you know, when I was a kid. And that really, that was very, very gooey. And that really...
Yeah.
Because, you know, you boil it so you can pluck the feathers out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a good situation. Or at least dip it in hot water.
Well, other than ham, what's your favorite Thanksgiving thing?
I'm not much of a pie person either. I like the whole dinner, really. I like, you know, rolls and mashed potatoes and cranberry sauce and corn. I don't eat many vegetables.
Now,
do you like
the cranberry sauce that's in the jelly, like out of the can, or do you like what I call real cranberry sauce?
I don't like the real cranberry
sauce. Oh, my gosh.
No,
it's a good thing I didn't marry you. We'd have terrible Thanksgivings.
Yeah, well. Yeah, good, because I would have been about 12.
Yeah.
So, hey, no, Jeff, do you know the three dates? Now, when you go to buy a turkey at the store, do you know the three dates that might be on the package and what they mean?
No.
There is a, there's going to be a sell-by date that might be listed. And that basically just represents the date to the grocery store owner or the folks of how long to display that turkey for sale. if you buy the turkey and it has a sell-by date, you want to make sure you buy it by or before that date. It doesn't mean you have to cook it or prepare it before that date. It just needs to be out of the store mm-hmm. and in your home, either in a freezer or in the refrigerator chilling. There is a best if used by date, which just simply means that the turkey will, if you use it by that particular date, it will have its maximum amount of flavor and stuff like that in it.
Interesting.
And then there is a purchase or food safety date.
I'm writing this down, you see.
Where is this on the bird exactly?
It can be anywhere on the bird.
Oh, really?
It depends on the manufacturer. There's not a state, you know, a state, okay, it has to be in the on the left leg, on the, you know, on the side or something like that. But, and it can be any one of those three dates. But most of them you're going to find is either a sell-by date or a best-if-used-by date. And, again, a frozen turkey, if you buy one that's frozen, they're flash frozen, and then they're wrapped. And as they're wrapped, it's kind of like a vacuum seal. So that bag, all the air is sucked out of that bag, and it's real tight around the bird, like anybody that's bought one knows. And that will help keep it and protect it for a longevity in the freezer if you choose to freeze it to keep it from getting freezer burn. Remember also when you thaw the bird out to remove the neck and the giblets.
Yes. Oh,
now, Gail, have you ever cooked a turkey in a pit?
Have I ever done what?
My brother, who lives in Indiana, he cooks his turkeys. They have a big, they have lots of people over, and they cook actually multiple turkeys, but they cook them in a pit.
Does
like
he grill it or does he smoke it?
I'm sorry, what?
Does he grill it or does he smoke it?
Oh, he smokes it, but he does it outside.
Oh, yeah, I've always smoked, I've smoked many birds.
Yeah.
And I mean, a smoked bird is, in my opinion, I mean, it just depends. I mean, you know, baked or roasted is great. I kind of like when I bake it in the oven, instead of doing the open pan roasting method, I prefer to use a, a Reynolds bag because it browns it. And it keeps it moist without having to baste it all the time.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in a bit too, because that's what I'm thinking about doing this year, but I've decided to wait until I get the expert here.
Oh man, definitely use a bag.
But
it's great.
Let me talk about smoked turkeys for a second.
I'm gonna let you guys go and I'll listen on the air, okay?
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Bye. Later, brother.
I've never smoked a turkey myself, but I've had smoked turkeys. And the first time I ever experienced a smoked turkey was when we lived in Alabama. And there was this little place called Southern Barbecue. And once you could understand what they were saying when they were talking to you, you know, and talking like this, and once you understand it, I mean, you were in like Flynn. And,
right.
And they, if you brought your turkey to them, like the night before Thanksgiving, they would smoke it like all night long. Oh,
yes.
Man, was that good. Wow. So I had never heard of smoked turkeys until I lived there in Alabama.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, how about a deep-fried turkey?
My neighbor across the street every year does a deep-fried turkey for the neighborhood toward the end of the summer. And I'm always the first one there, man. Let me tell you.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, that's good. I want to talk about that, too.
Now, when smoking a turkey, now I've just got the old standard electric Brinkman smoker. And Mario's listening, he's going to say, you can't find them in Houston, man. But basically, the rule of thumb that I used for smoking a turkey is about 35 to 40 minutes per pound. And I'll put it on, you know, with the electric smoker, basically you get your wood chips, get everything set up, get your bird on, and plug it in, and that's it.
Wow.
It just heats, and you have to come back about every 3 to 4 hours to add more wood chips.
And you've talked about the Brinkman smoker on a previous Cooking in the Dark show.
Yes.
Because I remember that.
For a blind person to use, now you need outdoor space, and you need to make sure you can put it on concrete or, we've got a wood deck out back, so I bought some concrete, you know, little 1x1 stepping stones.
Sure.
And put those together and made a little pallet for it because of the heat. But, the electric ones are really nice because they keep the heat really regulated. you know, using the gas or the wood burning, you've got to always add wood, and you've got to check your temperatures. You've got to open and close baffles to keep the heat consistent.
Yeah, I had a little electric smoker once, and I think it probably wasn't the quality of what you're talking about, because it never really got warm enough to do much of anything except really just sort of it did get smoky, but it just didn't seem to perform. But I never heard of the kind that you're recommending. So
yeah, these are just they're a round cylinder, about 23 inches, 24 inches in diameter, and they stand about 3 feet tall, I guess. And inside, it's got two racks. It's got a water pan, and then two racks, grill racks, for you know putting foods and things on. And ironically enough, the top rack will cook a little bit hotter than the bottom rack because it's a way the water source helps to keep the, you know, cool a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have done two, I've done two 18-pound birds on it before.
At one time?
At one time.
Wow. Hey, we have
you
a
can
caller.
Smoke up to about 50 pounds at a time on them, but you're right. I mean, that smoked turkey is delicious. Now, I always like to shoot my bird up with marinade as well.
Oh, let's talk about that in a second. Let's bring our caller in.
All right.
Hi there. You're with Dale and Marlena. Happy Thanksgiving. Who's this?
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. This is Karen and Daryl.
Hi, Karen and Daryl.
Hi.
How are you doing this evening?
Great. Did you have a question for Dale?
I don't really have any questions. I was just actually, I do have a question. As far as getting on cooking without looking list.
No, the cooking in the dark list.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. I was cooking at the time.
All right.
Yeah.
What time's dinner?
Yeah. What are you fixing?
Oh, I had made manicotti, so.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Bread.
Where is Tim in the time machine when we need it, Marlon?
I know.
We can move back, catch a plane, and we're there.
Golly.
I'm in.
Me too.
To subscribe to the Cooking in the Dark list, couple ways you can do it. One, you can just send a blank email to cookinginthedark-subscribe@acbradio.org.
Okay.
cookinginthedark-subscribe@acbradio.org, or you can go to blindmysmart.com, click on the Cooking in the Dark link, and there is a link in there as well. And everybody listening, I apologize. I have not gotten the Cooking in the Dark page updated yet. We're looking at doing that. We're in the midst of, we've had some problems with the podcast and the page that we have the shows uploaded to. So we're in the process, I guess, of going to a paid site so that when people log into the page, it doesn't play everything and fast forward.
Well, and also we are in the process of updating your archive, too.
All right.
So,
July. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, we've done quite a few shows since then.
Yeah.
So, hey, Daryl, where are y'all at?
We're in Arizona, in Phoenix.
All right. Phoenix?
Yep. Definitely. I do want to get on that list. I'm already belonging to a couple like crockpot lists and things like that.
Well, there you go. Get on that list. It's a great list, and Daryl will benefit hugely.
I'd love to come up.
Responsible for any weight gained.
I'd love to come up with new recipes because I'm not very good as far as experimenting with my own, as far as spices. But
Man, that's something I try to tell everybody. I mean, I emphasize that a lot on the show is use a recipe as a roadmap, so to speak.
Exactly.
But don't be afraid to get off the road and try new things or try
this.
Well,
I do that, and sometimes it comes out and sometimes it doesn't, you know.
You know, when
exactly.
Years and years ago, and I can't tell you what cookbook it was, but I'm talking it was 20 or more years ago, I borrowed a Braille cookbook from my library, and one of the things that this cookbook said that it would do was teach you how to taste your food so that you could begin to taste spices in your food. And I tell you, I collect a lot of recipes, and I have a number of Braille cookbooks, including some of the wonderful ones that Dale has, and I use them for an overview. Just give me an idea, and I think, oh, man,
exactly.
I think I'll throw a little curry in there. I'll do it. But, you know, And even if it comes out wrong, who cares?
Yeah. Now, one thing I can tell everybody, you don't have to try. Do not put vanilla pudding in meatloaf. It doesn't work. That was a whoop for sure. But, yeah, you know what? Come join the list. And, I mean, it is there is a lot of traffic on it, but a lot of it is recipes being posted.
Yeah.
There's some great conversation every now and then.
Just
you know,
make a
and
folder
discussion
for
about
it.
This,
yeah.
that, and the other.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you want to get on and just be a lurker, just
well,
hang out and grab stuff. That's cool. If you want to contribute, contribute. Yeah,
definitely.
We you know, we don't care.
All right.
I'll definitely have to check it out. And
all right.
I must say that I don't have any interesting stories like Jeff did about killing turkeys.
Well, and that's okay. I think one was enough.
I personally love turkey, but I like the stuffing and the canned sweet potatoes and mashed potatoes better than actually the turkey.
Well, we'll progress on and we'll see what Dale's got cooked up for us for dinner.
Well, everybody has a hope everyone has a happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, you guys.
You too.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Okay,
right.
Thanks,
happy
you guys.
Day.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Okay, so we were talking about smoking the turkey and injecting the turkey with marinade.
Yeah,
let me
the
let
marinade
you
injector.
Pick it up.
Now,
yeah.
I usually buy the marinade already made, you know, at the store. I mean, it's just as easy to me.
Oh, yeah.
Than mixing it all up.
Yeah.
I prefer, there's one, it's a butter Cajun that I really love. And one thing when people inject their birds, a lot of times they stab the injector into it. Shoot it up. Woohoo! I've injected my... Well, you're doing it wrong. What you want to do when you inject the bird is you want to slide the injector, the needle, up underneath the skin. You don't want to go down into the meat, but you want to slide in between the skin and the meat, shoot it up, and then massage it into the meat. When you go deep into the bird and you shoot it in, you're just hitting that. You're really magnifying all that marinade into that one area.
And you clog up your needle, too.
Oh, my God. I hate it when that happens.
Oh, me too.
You know, but by going under the skin, you shoot it in under the skin, massage it in. You know, it'll get all over. Oh, it's great that way.
So would you say you put that needle at about like a 45-degree angle?
Probably less than that.
Yeah,
I would say more at almost probably an 80-degree angle. I mean, I slide it in almost parallel, you know, almost even with the skin,
okay.
Just so it pierces it and flips under.
Okay.
And when it goes under and you start to squeeze the syringe and inject it, you can actually feel it bubble up under the skin.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it pops up and then you rub it down. For about an 8 to 12 pound bird, 1 cup of marinade is recommended. And it's good to go about 2/3 of that, you know, in the breast area and the rest of it in, you know, all over the rest of the bird.
Do you need to make more than one poke, like say in the breast area? Do you make one poke
and
massage it? Yeah,
I go all over the place. I go at the top of the breast, massage that in. I'll go down, you know, I go all over the breast area. I don't just go in one place.
Okay.
Now, I might make one... slide it in and then do like the doctor does when he's doing, you know, a painkiller or something, kind of move that needle around a little bit.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You want to get it all over that breast area. So what I'll do is usually start at the top center of the breast and then work my way down the left side of the bird and then work my way down the right side of the bird because I want to make sure I get that marinade everywhere. And if I use it all in the breast area and none in the dark meat, that's fine. That's cool too.
Now, does Blind Mice Mart have an injector?
No.
Oh,
no.
We need to get one.
Most of the time when you buy your marinade, you get an injector with it.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh,
and I've got probably 4 or 5 of those saved, you know, still in the plastic wrap that I haven't used yet, because you can reuse them.
Yeah.
And I pop the needle off after I do the stuff and wash it in the dishwasher. I pop the needle off and put it inside the syringe so it's all right there ready to go.
Yeah. I bought one of these big ones once from QVC, and it works, you know, pretty well, but it takes up a lot of space in the drawer, and it's just so huge.
Yeah, and that's why, like, when you buy, I mean, if you get the marinade, I mean, it's about 4 or 5 inches long and maybe 3/4 of an inch in diameter. It's not like a little, you know, a little syringe by any means, but it's not a big old bulky thing. And if you want to throw it away, throw it away.
Now, where would we find in the grocery store this marinade?
In my grocery store, which isn't saying anything because they put bar bath soaps with the dog food. It's by the it's with the oils and the salad dressings and
okay.
things like that.
Yeah, that seems
But most of the time, if you just ask, when you go in the grocery store, if you just ask them where are your marinades for turkeys and roasts, because they make them for roasts, they make them for all kinds of meats and stuff. And just because it says it's for roast, if it's a flavor you like, use it in the turkey.
Yeah, who cares?
Who knows?
Who cares?
Might discover something really cool.
Yeah.
Something else that we've done before is we've rubbed Tabasco sauce over the outside skin of the bird.
Oh, my gosh.
And that really, you talk about crisping the bird up.
That really
makes that skin crispy. And it does. You don't really get that hot Tabasco flavor as much as you get a real crispiness to the skin. So I guess that kind of bakes out or something. Maybe the taste of that Tabasco sauce bakes out during the baking process.
Yeah.
But that's just excellent stuff. In this list of stuff that I'm going to be sending out to the Cooking in the Dark list, there is a recipe for an herb marinade. I've tried a garlic and herb marinade, which is really good. But, again, my taste, I really like that butter and Cajun.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, man, my mouth is watering already. Now I'm thinking about manicotti. And
I know.
Killing me, man.
Me too. And I haven't eaten dinner yet.
Yeah, we're going out tonight also.
Oh, man.
When we get done here, we're celebrating. It was, 4 years ago that I asked Candace and Skylar to marry me.
Oh,
so we're
going to
go out and celebrate that union tonight.
That's very cool. Very cool. All right, so we've got our turkey, we've got our dates straight, and we've decided that we're not going to deep fry, we're not going to smoke it, because, you know, we've got company coming over, and we haven't tried those things, but we are going to roast it. What do we do?
All right, let's go for roasting.
Boy, and make your house smell so good.
Oh my gosh,
man.
Yes it will, won't it? Let me find those notes here.
If we hear some crackling here, it's just me salivating and short-circuiting out the whole studio.
Right?
Oh, boy.
Now, you know what's crazy? I tried to find a turkey about 3 weeks ago. Well, I guess about a month ago when we were recording the Thanksgiving shows. I couldn't find a whole turkey anywhere.
You're kidding.
No. I was like, what is up with this? I was free. I mean, I could get a turkey breast. It took us like 5 grocery stores before we found one turkey, and it was just one. That's all they had was one.
And they were selling you?
What's that?
They were selling you?
Yeah, they didn't have them.
No, they were selling you the one turkey?
Yeah, I got the one turkey. Well, they knew I had a show to do, you know.
There you go.
Ooh, a figment of my own imagination.
Yeah, right. I feel the same way. Oh man. Now I've got a reasonably small wall oven. We don't have 2 ovens. We just have one. And it's, you know, I can put the smaller size cookie sheets and stuff in there. And, that's why I'm just doing a 10-pound turkey, because I'm not convinced that my huge roasting pan, which is old and it's from my mom, and it's one of those enamel roasting pans that just is the worst kind in the world to use because it's so hard to clean up. But, you know, it was mom's, and I treasure it because of the number of turkeys that were cooked in it when I was growing up. But as you're looking for your notes, let me ask you this question. Should I cover my turkey if I'm not cooking it in a bag?
No. You want it to be open so that it will brown.
Wow.
That is one of the biggest things, like with the Nesco roasters and stuff.
Yeah.
The browning process. You want that turkey to look like it's been cooked. You don't want it to be as, you know, as pale as I am in the wintertime.
Wow.
And to do that, I mean, you want to start it off with basically with the breast side down for the first couple of hours.
And then I have to turn it over?
And then you have to pull it out, flip it over, and then you need to baste it about every 30 minutes.
Okay, we need some serious instructing here now, because this
I've never done.
You're
talking, you want your oven at about 325.
Okay.
And the estimated time is about 15 to 20 minutes per pound. And again, this is just an estimate. You want to make sure, I mean, when a turkey is done, the old guidelines were if you take the temperature in the breast, it needs to be 170 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
If you take the temperature in the thigh, deep in the thigh, it needs to be 180.
Mm-hmm.
If you've stuffed the turkey, the temperature of the stuffing should be 165 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the talking cooking thermometer, everybody,
yes,
is really nice to have.
Yes.
Another way you can tell if a bird is done or not is by how loose, when it's done, you can take the leg and move it around. It'll be pretty, you know, the joint will be pretty relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
That's also a great way to tell if, you know, when you're smoking it, but we'll get back to this roasting stuff. The estimate, so say if you've got a 12-pound bird,
yeah,
going at 20 minutes per pound, you're going to be looking at about, what is that, about 4 hours?
Yeah.
Of bake time at 325.
Okay.
And again, that could be anywhere from 3.5 to 4.5 hours, or, you know, 3 hours and 45 minutes, around, you know, about 3.5 hours, you want to check that bird and see what the temperature is. But one thing to do is when you put your bird in upside down, coat the underside with some butter, you know, salt and pepper, season it if you want to.
Okay.
And slide it in the oven and open roast it for, you know, again, for about 15 to 20 minutes per pound. Now, by using the baking bags, one thing that makes it a little bit easier on you as the cook is once you put it in the bag and slide it in the oven, that's it, until it's ready to come out.
So I don't have to turn it over.
You don't have to pull it out. You don't have to turn it over.
Blah,
you don't
blah,
have
blah,
to
blah.
Baste it, because the basting is what helps keep it moist.
And it'll still crisp up in the baking
bag,
huh?
Oh, yeah, it'll still crisp up.
Oh.
And what you do, too, is you want to, if you're using a baking bag, an oven baking bag, excuse me. They make two sizes. They make just a regular size bag, which you get 5 to a box,
mm-hmm,
and it will accommodate foods up to about 8 to 8 pounds or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the turkey bags, which will accommodate birds up to, like, up to 20, birds, roast, any of that stuff, up to 24 pounds.
Wow.
You want to use at least 1 tablespoon of flour. You want to put that in the bag, shake it all around inside the bag, and what the flour does, one, it helps to, you know, for your juices and things, it'll help to make those a little bit more of a gravy.
Okay.
The other thing it does, it keeps the bag from exploding.
Well, this is a good thing, yeah!
Or not exploding, I guess I shouldn't say exploding, but just popping.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, it makes a mess in the oven no matter what it does. Hey, we've got a...
When you see your bird fly across the room, hey, it's done.
Jeff will go, that turkey's not killed yet. We've got a caller, let's bring him in.
All right.
Hi there, happy Thanksgiving. You're with Dale and Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, Dale, it's Jan.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, I'm just here sitting here listening to you. On the phone, there's actually a feed where you can listen on the phone.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to it that way instead of on my computer tonight.
All right.
And
so
immigrant
we're in mono,
wife,
huh?
Yeah, I'm in mono. Immigrant,
do I sound
wife
better
here
in your left ear or your right ear?
My left. Immigrant was on three-way with me, but she got a call in the middle, so I don't think she's here right now.
Oh, too bad.
But I had a couple of questions. When you did the turkey show this morning that I listened to on the ACB radio, and that I did listen to on my computer. I was the girl, Marlena, that went to camp with you when I was
I remember,
girl.
Jan.
Yes.
Yeah.
You didn't say anything about putting slits in the bag, and I think maybe you did mention it and I didn't catch it.
You want to puncture the top of the bag.
Yeah.
And also, you know, cut like a little 1-inch slit or something in it.
Mm-hmm.
I found out after I did the show, the bags that I thought I were using were turkey bags were actually crockpot liners.
Oh, no!
Worked just the same, worked just as well, man. It all came out good.
And they worked okay.
They're both made by Reynolds.
And they worked okay?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it worked out great.
Also, another question I had was that when you talked about, I think probably on the list, that you talked about doing turkey in a microwave. That you used to do that when you sold microwaves back, and I was
back in the days when I used to sell appliances and stuff at Sears.
Mm-hmm. And those came out okay?
They came out delicious. I was blown away that it would work, but it was probably goodness. It was about don't get me lying, but I'd say at least a 14-pound bird.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean that's back in the days when I was in college. So we'd get done doing that, and I'd take with the leftover of that back to the frat house, and we'd have a meal. And we usually did one of those. I talked my boss into letting us do one like every Saturday up to Thanksgiving. You know,
Dale, that was before dirt was invented, though.
Yes.
No,
back when we had to write on slates with, you know, I mean, real slates.
Yeah.
Carve in our notes, you know, like the Flintstones.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that you actually microwave that bird on different power settings, and after about the first 30 minutes, if I remember right, you pulled it out. And you wrap the wingtips and the tips of the legs with foil.
Oh, okay.
And that kept them from burning.
The foil doesn't spark it?
Uh-huh.
You know? Oh,
it didn't spark. As long as it didn't touch the sides of the microwave, it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the bird was done, we'd take it out, we'd wrap him in foil, and then put him back in the microwave and just let him sit for about another 45 minutes.
And how did
because the microwaves,
right?
You know, are still active in any meats that you cook.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why bacon will continue to cook after you take it out or any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the little microwaves still bouncing around inside that bird would help cook him through. But it was juicy. The skin was crispy. It was absolutely delicious.
Oh, wow. I wondered about the skin, whether it would get crisp or not, because I had a friend of mine way back before I even had a microwave, did chicken in a microwave, and the skin was really rubbery. And
yeah, now how long did they cook it for, do you know?
I don't know. That was a long time ago, and she lived up, and I'll have to ask her if she.
Because I remember we set it, I mean, because, you know, the those old Kenmore microwaves, they had all the buttons that had all the recipes in them, and you could do this and that, and, you know, we'd set it for this power level for this amount of time and that power level, and I don't actually remember. Gosh. I think I killed those brain cells last week.
I just got the Timo, and I love it.
Oh.
The talking microwave.
Yeah.
It's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I really wish I could have one.
You need to get one. I love it.
No, unfortunately, I haven't a place in my kitchen. Everything is built in, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. And what I really like about it is I love the way it defrosts.
Oh, I bet.
Oh,
bet.
It defrosts really, really wonderfully.
Yeah, and it talks to you like whatever you want to do, right? I mean,
it doesn't talk through all the settings, so you have to kind of memorize some of them, like the weights and the selections and stuff.
Yeah.
But I have the manual in my computer. I downloaded it. So, you know, anything that I need to do, I just look up.
Wow. That is so
cool. Yeah, and, you know, and if you have one of those and you have problems, you can call Hamilton Beach's customer service line because they actually have one. The ladies that answer the phone have one there.
Oh, wow.
And they can go over. I mean, when this first came out, that's the first thing I did was call Hamilton Beach because I wanted to get some in here to sell through blind mice.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I found out they were special purchase only for Best Buy and Walmart, I wasn't going to buy them. You know, I just don't want to. I mean, blind mice is not there to.
Yeah.
For me to buy something for $80 and turn around and sell it for $130, like some of the other people are doing.
Yeah.
You know, that's craziness.
Yeah, I was really fortunate. I found it at Best Buy for $59.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, that was
now yours
real
is at Best Buy. It's the black.
Yeah, probably it's the 06, I think.
Okay. I think that's the black one, and Walmart has the silver model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're totally the same, though, just different paint job.
I think one might speak French and one might speak Spanish or something like that. Someone I read somewhere. Because I know mine does switch to Spanish also.
Wow, that's pretty
that
cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's neat.
All right, well, anything else, Jan?
Not that I can think of.
All right, now are you in New Hampshire?
I'm in Massachusetts.
Oh, Massachusetts. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I knew you were up there somewhere where it's cold.
Not cold yet, actually. We've had it pretty warm, but it's been down, I don't know, maybe 45, 50 today. It wasn't, you know, so it's not real. I mean, you coming from New England would remember it being colder
than
that.
Oh, I remember it being much colder than that. Yeah.
And those summer days at Camp Allen when it was 45 degrees when you woke up in the morning.
I know, and we'd jump out of bed and be like, woo, it's cold.
Yeah, so, Jan, I need you to make sure that you close all your windows and your doors.
Why?
Because, man, it was like in the 50s here today.
Oh, well, I was thinking of opening them and sending some to Texas.
No, thank you, ma'am. No, thank you.
I know how much you like the cold.
I've got a sweatshirt somewhere that I need to find.
Oh, Immigrant is on the other line. She's right here with me now.
Oh.
All right. Hey, Immigrant.
Hello, everyone.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm all right. What about Thanksgiving Russian style, for example, for a change?
Thanksgiving Russian style. Tell me about that.
Tell them how you did the turkeys in Russia, that you they didn't roast them and stuff. They'd use them for soup and stuff.
That was because of the economical reasons. You get a turkey, you don't know when you're going to get another one.
Yes.
So instead of roasting it and just having it eaten for a couple of days, people would divide it into portions and make soup. It would be like one soup, maybe for 2-3 days or something like that. So a whole turkey would last you much longer, or a chicken for that matter. And roasting was just for big holidays.
Wow, that's amazing.
When people came here, of course, when they are adapting to the traditions of Thanksgiving Day and roasting turkey, for example, my mother roasted it, stuffed it in a certain way. We would get store-bought stuffing and make it according to the package directions. And then what she would do before that, she would stuff the raw turkey with sliced onions.
Well,
overnight.
Overnight, the night before she was going to roast it.
Oh, my gosh.
And rub the outside and the inside with salt and pepper, and the outside also would be rubbed with things like Italian seasoning, minced garlic, and other dry
seasonings. Now, would she remove the onions before
she stuffed it with the onions in it?
She would remove the onions and fry them for the stuffing.
Oh, and then add them to the store-bought stuffing.
Yeah, and they would have the turkey flavor in them already from being in the inside.
Wow, man, that's a lot of work.
So she used it more to flavor the onions than for the onion to flavor the bird.
Well, it would
go both ways?
Bidirectional.
Oh, cool.
They were multitasking onions.
Man, that is excellent.
You get those giblets that you have in the little bag, and you chop them up into the stuffing.
Wow.
And then my neighbor's Russian, and she was born in St. Petersburg, I believe. She's been over here in the States now for about 20 years. But she was telling us that, too, that the carcass that we had left over after that fried turkey, I mean, people were just picking it. It was down to the bones. But she goes, you know, what we would do in Russia with that, we'd put it in a pot and boil it.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and make turkey soup
definitely.
Out of it.
Oh, yeah, to make your stock.
Sometimes there was no meat.
Uh-huh.
And the bones were used for flavoring soups. They were not just discarded.
That's
well,
right.
And actually, I do that. I have a big stock pot, you know, that has an insert with hundreds and hundreds of holes in it. And so I put the water and I put like whole onions and tops of celery and carrots and all this disposable stuff that I, you know, might otherwise just toss. And I put whole peppercorns and even sometimes I put some cloves in there, some whole cloves, and I'll just boil that sucker up, or actually simmer it for a few hours on low, and when the bones feel a little soft, I just lift out that insert, and it's kind of yucky in the insert, but I have a beautiful pan of broth.
Yeah.
And then immigrants' relatives introduced them to oven bags.
And I would say that baking, roasting the turkey in the Reynolds oven bag is the best way to roast it.
Well, that's what I'm going to do this year.
Yes.
I would say,
you want to
put,
if you're going to open pan roast it, you know, you want to add about a half a cup of water to the bottom of the pan.
Sure, so the bag
and go that way. But do the same with, if you do it in the bag.
You don't even need any water.
You don't need the water. And
no. You know, I always put a little bit in there anyway.
In the bottom,
under the bag. About a quarter cup
or
so, half a cup. And then I also will build a bed of celery and carrots and onions in the bottom of the bag, where I'm going to lay the turkey at.
We never did that, but the onions were in the stuffing.
Yeah.
So the turkey would come out crispy on the outside and quite moist on the inside.
Yes.
And it will never be overdone, because there were a couple of times when it was basically overdone because it would fall off the bone, but it was not dry.
But, immigrant, I want to ask you a question. I've always wanted to ask someone from Russia this question. When we make the recipe called Russian tea cakes, is that really from Russia?
It is not. It is not from Russia. I mean, Well, it's a basic cookie. You can say it is from Russia, it is from America, it is from France, it is from anywhere. By the way, the same cookie is called Mexican wedding cake.
Yeah, I know it. I discovered that a few weeks ago.
Well, even the Russian tea, you know, the stuff that they call Russian tea with the tang and everything.
Yeah.
That's not Russian either.
Yeah.
Wait, you're just making me laugh. Where do you take orange juice in Russia?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Russian dressing that is not even Russian. Ketchup and mayonnaise. Mayonnaise was introduced to Russia somewhere in the 70s.
Wow.
And it's quite popular in Russian cooking right now, even though it's sometimes hard to get. But ketchup was introduced, at least we found out about ketchup somewhere in the 80s, and I never heard of a dressing that mixed ketchup, mayonnaise, and some other ingredients.
They use mayonnaise a lot as a like coating, like if they're doing pork chops and stuff like that.
Yeah.
She told me a way to, I know this isn't turkey, but you put a little bit of mayonnaise and a little bit.
This is called meat French style. But this is a Russian recipe.
But it's a Russian recipe.
You take some beef or pork, cut it into serving slices. Pound it quite well, because if you don't pound it, it's going to come out different. You pound it, and then you put an onion ring on each slice, a little mayonnaise, like into the onion ring, and a small slice of cheese on top of the meat.
Ooh.
And bake it for about an hour and a half.
Do you cover it? I didn't remember whether you did. I've tried it. It's wonderful.
You don't have to cover it. But if they're pounded, they come out very crispy.
Well, Dale, I think we need to go to Immigrant's house now for dinner.
I'm saying that.
She just got a new apartment, so we're all going to go over there.
Yeah. Immigrant, knock, knock, knock. Guess who's here?
We're here.
Everyone's welcome.
We're here.
In Brooklyn, New York.
All right. I'll be there. Well, hey, you guys, thanks so much for calling.
Okay. We both had comments, so we figured we'd give you two for the price.
Right on.
It's a sale at any price. Thanks
right
a lot, you guys.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Just let me say that if you're listening to this program at any time other than 6 to 7 Pacific, 9 to 10 Eastern, or 2 to 3 on a UTC Monday morning or Sunday night in North America, it's repeat. The number doesn't work, but the recipes do. Right, Dale?
That's right.
Yeah.
The recipes always work.
Oh, man, I'm hungry.
Man.
Woohoo.
That's good. We're doing our job then.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, well, but I'm not supposed to get hungry. I'm supposed to push
the button. Do you stuff your turkey?
I do. I have done it both ways. You know, I've made my own stuffing, and then I've gone and got the store-bought stuff and then added stuff like apples and olives and walnuts and oh, boy. I just go crazy sometimes. I just make it up as I go.
I do, too. I mean, again, here's the base of what I want to do. Well, let me try putting some of this in or try adding some of that.
Yeah.
You know, I made, for the shows, we did an oyster stuffing, and we did, you know, my favorite is that sausage, apple, and pecan dressing. That's just, I love it. So I used the hot sausage and then the sweet, you know, the apple. Anyway, the taste just, just go crazy with you. But if you're going to stuff your bird, y'all, you want to make sure you stuff it and then immediately bake it.
Yeah.
You don't want to stuff it and wait around for a while. Otherwise, we'll be seeing you in the emergency room.
Now, and should we make our stuffing the night before and stuff it cold?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's the best way to go. And if you are even if you're making your stuffing and you want to keep your, you know, your wet ingredients and your dry ingredients separated, you want to keep stuff refrigerated until it's time to put everything together.
Yeah.
And if you do make it, you know, I'm kind of that adage of if you make it ahead of time and let it refrigerate and sit for a while, don't you think the flavors kind of blend together?
Oh,
more?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's me,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. We got a call. Let's bring this call
cool.
in. Hi there. Happy Thanksgiving. You're with Dale and Marlena. Who's this?
Well, happy Thanksgiving to Dale and Marlena.
Well,
this is Charles and Venus in
Charles
Sacramento.
Dickens.
That's my friend. Oh, no, you'll never get away, never get away, never get away. You should hear
Dale
this song, Dale.
Actually, Dale got to hear us do it live in Houston.
Oh, that very song?
Yes.
That's my song.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, so, Charles.
Yes.
Have you been able to find any Shiner Bach out there?
No, I don't think we've found any Shiner Bach. But we'll have to look around. We haven't been shopping yet.
Right. Yeah. Charles and Venus came to Houston, and they were there for the live Cooking in the Dark
show. Wow, very cool.
They got to eat some of those bacon-wrapped shrimp and some of that chocolate mousse. They got to drink from the Vestal, what can I call that? Ah, well, Shinerbach.
Shinerbach, yeah. This is a family show now.
And I also introduced them. I don't know, did you get one of those Jell-O shots?
Yes.
You know, I told Gary about those Jell-O shots after, you know, see, I'm very lucky, you guys, because when I put Dale's show up on ACB Radio, you know, I get it a few days ahead and I insert my little, you know, use ACB Radio when you check out, blah, blah, blah. And so I get to hear the show ahead of time. So I sit through with my Braille note. I have a whole folder called CID recipes and I take those recipes down. Well, 1 week it was hot in Seattle. It was hot, hot, hot. And you were talking about those Jell-O shots. I went running out to Gary. I said, we got to do this. We got to try these Jell-O. We haven't done it yet, but
oh my God, it sounds so great. We had a bunch. We had a few left over from Halloween. So we found that when you make them, as long as you don't chill them, you know, they'll kind of set on their own. But as long as you don't chill them, they'll keep for a long time.
But how
once you chill them, you can't, you know, let them thaw and then re-chill them. I guess, dispose of them.
Yeah.
But
gosh.
I'm sorry, Charles.
Yes.
we got off on a tangent, man.
Yeah, we got thinking about Jell-O shots.
That's okay. The thing I was going to say is a while back here you were talking about that you don't have to cover the turkey. Well, so far it works for us because what we do is we have the roast pan, but in our roast lid, it has these little vents that you open.
Right.
And so we cover it. What we do, I believe we cover it for like a couple of hours. Then we take the cover off and we finish it, and it does get brown. It works.
Yes. Yeah, if you're able to do that, and you do want to remove that cover. In fact, some people will do it, start it with the breast side down and cover it.
Right.
Because they don't care if the underside of the bird browns or not.
Oh, okay.
And then they'll flip it. When they flip it over, that's when they take the cover off.
Yeah.
So then it's okay to do it that way, too.
But I want to know how you flip the bird over. I'm trying to envision this. And, I mean, other than using my...
Well, we don't actually have to flip the bird over. Believe it or not, it works.
Well, but if you do want to flip the bird over, now here's a little hint that Dale's going to like. What I would do and what I will do if I don't cook it in the bag and I flip it, I'll just put on my kitchen grips mitts.
There you go.
And flip it over that way. So that would work, right, Dale? I mean,
I could just do it with my... And then you're not, you'll protect yourself from
hot liquids.
And then you can just wash them off under the sink.
Yeah, those kitchen grips mitts, man, they are wonderful.
Yeah, we have done that. Yeah, we have flipped it over that way. And and then, of course, I do put, like you say, a cup of water in it, you know, in the pan. And it does work that way, too. But I like the thing about when you cook it upside down, because then the juices would actually run in there. Shut up. That's my clock.
Well, thank you, clock. We appreciate that.
Yes.
So are you cooking dinner, Charles, for Thanksgiving?
Well, actually, not for Thanksgiving, because we're going out. In fact, Dale, we're going to get together with Miss Linda O'Neill, another one of your customers there. And we're going to go, her and her girlfriend invited a whole group of us folks, and we're going to eat at the Hilton. They got a Thanksgiving dinner. But I am going to cook for Christmas.
All right. Well, that sounds good. Well, you give my best to Miss Venus.
I sure will. And, on the Cooking in the Dark show, we actually won a couple of the giveaways. So if you heard the show, you probably heard us.
The show will be on – the show's going to run the week after next. It'll be on the weekend after – the weekend after Thanksgiving?
Okay.
The first
It'll
weekend
be on
of
the
December?
First weekend in December.
That's a lot easier.
Damn.
Is it going to be on the Friday in the Handyman Hour?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Oh, well, I don't know about that. Will it
now,
be?
You were, I think the handyman, live handyman show ran this week.
Yeah, but that wasn't the Cooking in the Dark one.
No.
No, the Cooking in the Dark one is its own show.
Yeah, it'll be separate from the handyman show and the Blind Like Me show they recorded. Tim is, Tim told me, I talked to him today and he's got it edited and ready to go.
Well, then it'll be on Sunday, right?
Yeah, it'll be on Saturday night, North America, all, you know, starting.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then it'll run all day Sunday and,
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, December 2nd and 3rd.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is when that live show will be on.
Oh, on a December 2nd and 3rd. Okay.
Right. All right.
Yeah, that's great.
All right. Well, you take care, my friend.
Oh, and I do have one question, Dale. Do you happen to know the link to where you could pick up the music? I know it's on sendspace.com. Do you happen to know the link?
Oh, no, I sure don't.
Oh, okay. I'll have to...
For the shows?
Yeah.
We've got some news that we're going to be coming out with that pretty soon. We're going to be changing podcast services to where that link is going to be a better link. But once we get that live show, too, and I get the feed of that, I'm going to post that to the Cooking in the Dark list so everybody can get it as well.
Okay.
All right.
And am I going to get some of those notes that you were talking about, Braille notes, or is that going to be on the Cooking in the Dark list?
It'll be on the Cooking in the Dark list.
Oh, okay. So then I can download them.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm just going to post them there because it's a whole bunch of different stuff on deep frying and roasting, and there's some little recipes tucked in and out, and buying and reading the dates and and all kinds of stuff.
Thank you much. And
all right.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. And
you too.
Hey, thanks. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Okay,
and
thanks,
happy,
Charles.
Happy Thanksgiving to Gary.
All right.
The
thank you.
Guy.
All right. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. I hardly have a chance to give out this number. I'm going to get all kinds of email from new listeners saying, you didn't give it out.
Right. What's up with that?
Now,
when you use that cooking bag, Marlene,
you want to
make sure you put it in a roasting pan that's at least, you know, a turkey roasting pan, at least a couple 3 inches thick. I mean, you know, high, deep.
Yeah.
Because you are going to get some, there's going to be a lot of juices and stuff.
Okay.
They're going to be in there, so you're going to have great gravy.
How does it seal? How does this bag seal?
It comes with tie wraps.
Okay.
And you just simply twist it shut like you would a trash bag.
Okay.
And tie it shut.
Okay.
And you leave it puffed up a little bit. You don't want it real, you know, you don't want it tight around the bird. Give it some air space.
All right.
And, again, go for roughly about 15 minutes per pound.
Okay.
In a 325 oven. Now, if you lose your tie wraps for the bags, just snip off like a half inch off the end of the bag.
Okay.
And use that to tie it shut with.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I lost them one time. I just took a little strip of aluminum foil and rolled it up.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, use that to tie it shut.
And then
don't use a plastic trash bag wrap. It'll melt.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, don't use a bread tie. It might catch on fire, which will melt the bag, which will cause a big old mess.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good. And
then how do I
get the turkey out of the bag? Do I just like open the bag and cut it down?
What I do is, yeah, exactly what you just said. I just slit it right down the middle, right through the top.
Okay.
If you want to manipulate it a little bit and keep that bag, I mean, you're going to have a ton of broth in it.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have a lot of broth. So, what I actually tried to do once was slit the bag so the broth would drain into the pan and then lift the bird out.
Ah, good
idea. Well, that worked out great, but then I got the bird out. Where am I going to put it?
Gail's walking around the kitchen with his bird, you know, what am I going to do with it?
Oh,
yeah, but that's where your kitchen grips come in handy, man.
That's
you know?
Right.
Oh, I love those kitchen grips.
Kitchen grippies.
Yeah. Hey,
I mean, that roast, I mean, any more using those baking, you know, those oven bags?
Yeah.
Oh, they're great.
Hey, we have a call. Let's bring our caller in. Hi there. Happy Thanksgiving. You're with Dale and Marlena. Who's this?
Is this me? Oh,
it's you.
Hi, Marlena. It's Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Boy, this is getting to be a regular thing.
I guess so.
I have a question. Because of, you know, oven space and all, we're going to have turkey, but we're also going to do a ham. And we were thinking that we would maybe cook the ham on Wednesday and then nuke it just to warm it on Thursday. But then we were thinking, would it make it taste bad to do it that way?
Well, you know what you can do, too? Bake your turkey ahead, your ham ahead of time like you're going to do and refrigerate it.
Right.
Your turkey you actually want to let stand for about 30 minutes after it comes out of the oven.
Right, okay.
And at that time, you can slide your ham back in.
Ah,
good idea.
Okay.
You can let a turkey stand for about 30 minutes to an hour. If you're going to let it stand, just cover the whole roasting pan and everything with foil.
Should I leave it in the bag while it's standing?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, leave it in the bag while it's standing.
Okay.
Will the first turkey please stand? No.
Please, will the real turkey please? Yeah.
Oh, Dale is standing.
Dale is standing.
Yeah.
For dinner.
Yeah.
Make sure you get a little bow tie on.
We got to talk about dressing that turkey.
Or if it's going to be even longer than that, you can put newspaper over the top of the pan and around the bird, and then cover that with foil. Just wrap it all in foil.
Yes, because newspaper is a great insulation.
Yes.
Okay.
And it'll make great use of that newsprint.
That's a great
I had to catch myself. Family show.
Yeah, family show.
Yes, family show.
But, yeah, that won't be a problem, because even when you buy a ham, unless you buy one right from the farm, probably 95 or 99% of all hams are cured anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if it's cold or hot. I mean, of course, it's so much better when it's hot.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now we've got a real problem, Dale.
What's that?
Well,
thank you.
Whose house are we going to now? Debbie's going to have turkey and ham.
And we're doing pumpkin pies. And I do have to say, we are cheating on the crust, but what's her name? Marie Callender crust.
Right.
Are very good.
Well, and until we did the show with Jan Sturbins, I'd never made a pie crust in my life. And it's very easy, but at the same time, they're so easy to buy, too.
Yeah.
And they're not that expensive.
Well, and these ones are better than the ones that are, like, in the shell. I mean, they are in a shell, but they're frozen, you know? And
yeah.
Right.
So much better than some of the other...
Do they mix anything into the batter? I mean, into the batter, into the crust?
I don't know.
Like add any herbs or anything like that to it?
No, I don't think so.
Because I was thinking when we were making that pie, I was like, man, if I was making chocolate pie, I might, and I'm making my own crust, I might add a little cinnamon.
Cinnamon, yeah.
Ooh.
A little extra brown sugar or cinnamon.
Yeah, but you could dust the crust with that before you put your filling in.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then put filling in
Well, Debbie, that's better than what I've done.
Okay, what time is dinner, Debbie?
Yeah.
2 o'clock.
I'm going to have to call my travel agent to get the arrangements.
Yeah,
my way from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Yeah, you're
going to
get
to
Eastern Washington real fast. But, I commend you, Debbie, because what I have done in the past, this is so dishonest. Oh, my gosh. But
you buy a pumpkin pie, right?
Well, I buy a frozen pie. While the deer is frozen, I unmold it from its tray, put it into a nice pie plate, bake it in the oven, bring it to the table. People say, oh, Marlena, that's so good. You make such a... I say, well, thank you.
I love it.
Oh, well.
I love that with salads, and things like that.
Delivery,
go to, Super One or Costco or someplace to get a really nice, get a salad. Put it in a really nice salad bowl.
Yeah, well, hey, all the secrets come out on the Marlena Show.
That's right.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you and Craig.
Thanks, and you too.
Okay.
And give Agnes a little hug.
I will. She's making noise behind me here.
Oh.
All right, you take care.
You too.
Okay.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, man, what are we going to do? I mean,
man,
I'm just hungry.
I'm getting fat and sassy right here.
You've been fat and sassy ever since I've known you. All right, how should we dress the turkey for dinner, my dear?
I think we should dress him in tails.
Oh, in tails? Oh, that's a winged thought.
Yeah. See, I don't stuff my bird when I bake it, but I will, I'll butter the, butter the cavities and salt and pepper them real heavy.
Yeah.
And then I will, put some chopped up celery and carrots. And some cilantro.
Ew, I don't like cilantro.
If I have it.
Ew.
And
oh,
also some onion. you know, and just stuff that into the cavities of the bird and bake that in there.
So what do you do with that? Is that just for flavor, or do you eat it?
Just for flavor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then, you know, when it's time to serve, then that all comes out.
Yeah.
But, man, I like that idea that Immigrant Gravis, you know, about seasoning the onions ahead of time.
Yeah, that does sound like a good idea, doesn't
it? That
is
a great idea.
Yeah.
I like that. Now, I've got another cooking method if you want to hop over to this other method. This was sent to me a couple years ago by Vicky Jack.
Okay.
And she's a sailor. She's a blind sailor also.
Oh, okay.
Which is really cool. But this is a kind of a steam roasting method.
Oh, okay.
Now, you're going to love this. Let me get up here to the top of this so I don't mess it up.
Okay.
You want to put about 1 inch of water in the bottom of a large, you know, turkey roasting pan.
Yeah.
Generously butter the turkey.
Yeah.
Put the lid on it. Let me see. Put it in the pan upside down so the breast side is down after it's buttered.
Yeah.
You want to put it in the pan. Cover it and bake it for 1 hour at 450 degrees.
450. Okay.
450. After the hour, take it out, flip it over breast side up, and then this is when you're going to season it, salt, pepper, do all that stuff to it.
Yeah.
Let's see here. You know, put salt in the cavity, add the butter to the cavity.
If you're like me, you'll put a little garlic in there.
Oh, yeah, a little garlic.
Oh, I'm a garlic girl.
Right on. Nothing wrong with that.
And I love my garlic mandolin from Blind My Smart. But anyway, okay.
Okay, cover.
Yeah.
Return to the oven for another 45 minutes at 450. And then you want to pop the lid off and leave it in for another 15 minutes. And that'll brown it up.
Wow. Now, have you done this?
No, I haven't done this one yet, but I'm going to. You remove it and then let it just sit, let it stand covered for about another 15 to 30 minutes. And that's it. And you end up, this actually ends up steam roasting it. And even, as in her notes, she says even a 22-pound bird is what she did this method on.
Wow.
She goes, it'll have the meat falling off the bones.
Wow. Wow.
Which is just like, whoa.
Now, if you've got a smaller bird, would you decrease any of these times, do you think?
I don't think so. Because I don't think it's so much, you're getting a lot of heat in there, but because of the water.
Yeah.
In the pan, you're getting a lot of steaming. You're getting a lot of boiling and steam roasting in there. So, I don't think because you're not really, you're in there basically 2 hours.
Yeah.
Which is not even enough time at normal cooking to cook, gosh, what, a 6 or 8 pound bird.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds
so
good.
So, I mean, but I just, that this is one of the recipes that, or, you know, cooking methods that's always so intrigued me.
Yeah. Wow.
And I've never tried it, but I wanted to share it with everybody because
I never realized
awesome.
There were so many ways to cook a turkey.
Who would have thought? I mean, you know, let's see, there's grilling.
Yeah.
Smoking.
And we haven't even talked about grilling yet.
No. And grilling is real easy. Basically, with grilling, you put it on, you need a grill that has, you know, a left and right grill control.
Yeah.
And so you want one side on, you know, say medium, medium, low heat.
Yeah.
And then you just basically grill the turkey on the other side.
On the so it's indirect.
Right.
Yeah.
And basically just like baking it. Same way.
Hey, we have a caller. Let's bring him in. Hi there. Happy Thanksgiving. You're with Dale and Marlena. Who's this?
Marlena, this is Steve from LA, and hello, Dale.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
How are you?
Good. I wanted to tell you, I've been experimenting of lately doing some cooking, and I know not many people like it, but I made my own stuffed mushrooms today.
Oh. All right. Tell us about that.
I'm hosting Thanksgiving for 11 people. I would invite both of you, but 11's too much for me. And I think that's just going to be just enough for my house size.
Oh, no, but cool. 13 is a lucky number.
Yes.
And who's book?
And I eat enough for two, so that's 14.
None of my book is not a lucky number.
So tell me about your mushrooms, man.
We're having two vegetarians as part of our Thanksgiving meal. So my girlfriend and I are focused on making the stuffed mushrooms so it doesn't have seafood or meat because I guess they're strict vegetarians.
Ah.
Oh,
so
yes.
I made the stuffed mushrooms with a, with, and you'll probably hate my pronunciation of this, but with rigotte, chopped stems of the mushrooms.
Right.
Parsley, Italian seasonings, and basil.
Excellent.
And they came out delicious. I baked them for about a half an hour.
So you took some of the cheese? Is that what you did?
I put shredded mozzarella cheese over the top of it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And they came out delicious.
Oh.
What were you going to say?
What kind of mushrooms? Did you use just white mushrooms?
I don't know what color
the large
they are.
White mushrooms?
I have
okay.
no idea what color they are. Just
but you diced the stems up?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Fantastic.
Not all the stems, just a couple.
Right.
Because I didn't want it to be so people thought there was too many stems in there. But
right, right.
I want to do the same recipe for Thursday.
Fantastic.
And I'm making it for 11 people, so I think it's I think it came out as though I put them in first for 20 minutes. I took them out and tried one, and they didn't seem like they were done all the way, so I did them for another 10 minutes, and they were perfect.
Fantastic.
Wow.
But
that is awesome.
I've never made stuffed mushrooms before, and I've always wanted to.
They're easy.
Yeah, I've always
I think the hardest part of making a stuffed mushroom is actually doing the labor of stuffing them all.
Yeah, it wasn't that difficult. I mean, now I can actually now go to places, have them, and say, all right, I know what's in them. You know,
right.
Now I know how to make them. So it's,
now, are you a strict vegetarian?
No.
Okay. When you make them another time, you put them in, you know, your cake pan or baking dish.
Hold on one second.
Add
beef broth.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
Let them actually cook and actually bake in that beef broth.
Ooh, I bet that's good.
And then when you pull them out, let them, you know, stand for, again, 15 or 20 minutes because, you know, mushrooms, they're just fungus. They're just pores waiting to be sucking something up.
Yeah.
But I understand the strictness of the vegetarianism.
Yeah. Are they they're not vegan though, so you can use the cheese, right, Steve?
Yeah, no, I can use the cheese. As long as there's no meat in it. I'm also making for them eggplant rotini.
Oh my gosh.
Because again, they are strict vegetarians and I can't even use tomato sauce with meat sauce with meat in it.
Wow.
So I mean, they're distant relatives, so I mean, it's not a
sure,
big deal.
Sure.
You know, we just try to do the right thing by them. But
yeah.
I have another question for Dale.
Go for it.
Making mashed sweet potatoes.
Okay.
And I'm assuming, Dale, that the way to do that is the same way as you would with regular potatoes, no different, correct?
Pretty much, yeah. I would,
the only thing different,
I would bake the potato, I mean, bake the yams or whatever first. Don't boil them. Bake them and then just, in fact, with the sweet potatoes, you can almost clip one end off of them. You know the way they're formed.
Right.
Just cut one end off, grab the other end, and just squeeze the meat right out of the potato
without peeling it. You mean?
Without peeling it, because they do get
so
soft.
Is that after boiling it?
After baking it.
After baking it.
Baking it. How long should I bake it for?
30 to 45 minutes, an hour.
So none.
It just depends on the size of the potato, of the sweet potato. But
yeah.
you can definitely tell when a sweet potato is done because it gets very soft.
And then I don't even have to boil it then.
No.
Okay, that's
you don't
cool.
have to boil it. And you can even nuke it if you want to. I mean, when I do sweet potatoes for us for dinner, you know, I wash them off, cut the ends off of them, cut the root ends off, and throw them in the microwave for usually about 3.5 to 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Then I'll flip them over and
right.
Hit them again for about two to three minutes. But when you, I mean, they're you know, rock hard like a potato when
yeah.
they're raw. But when they're done, they're super soft.
So I can, and then I can just take them out and squeeze the contents out.
Take them out, squeeze the contents out, whip it up with a blender, a Sunbeam 2547 if you have it. Oh,
which is what Dale wants for Christmas.
Oh, I got it.
Oh, you got it. Oh,
yeah,
I missed
Candace
that.
Yeah, bought it for me.
I missed
okay.
that. Okay.
Yeah, but yeah.
Okay,
we're going to
make them with marshmallows and brown sugar.
There you go.
So, okay, so, but wait a minute. So you squeeze the potatoes out, and then you put them in your Sunbeam.
And then whip them.
And then
whip them.
And then when do you add the brown sugar and the marshmallows and stuff?
After you get them blended. After you, the first thing, what is whip them first.
Okay. Yeah. Do you put milk?
And then
in
I add
them?
The ingredients.
Do you put milk?
Mix them by, you know, mix kind of spoon, you know, mix that up by hand, and then pour the marshmallows over the top. And
do you put milk in them when you blend them?
No.
Okay.
So no milk. Okay.
I don't.
Okay.
Any sort of liquids whatsoever, just leave it as plain.
Do what you want to do.
Yeah.
I mean that's a terrible answer, I guess. But,
that is a terrible answer.
You know, I mean, if you want to put a little cinnamon, you know, and maybe a little apple pie spice or some brown sugar.
Oh, that'd be good.
You know, add some of that to it too.
Yeah.
Mm.
It can't hurt. Now, I mean, I love a sweet potato just right out of the microwave. Just split that dude open, put a little butter on it, and get out of my way.
So hypothetically, if I didn't want to bake him for an hour, I just put him in the microwave for...
Just microwave him.
For like 3 to 4 minutes?
Yeah. Or if you want to cut that corner, you don't want to mess with that, buy it in a can.
No, I already got the sweet potatoes. They look like rocks. Rocks that you find in the ocean.
Yeah. are they pretty good sized?
Yeah, they're very good sized. My girlfriend and I were shopping last night, and she says, how many sweet potatoes do you think we should get? Because we're having like 12 people. I said, I don't know. I said, 6? And when I saw the size of them, I was like, Jesus, I hope everybody eats them. They're pretty big sweet potatoes. And then, you know, you look at the size of, we bought a bag of potatoes because we're going to make going to make regular mashed potatoes too, so it's going to be an interesting meal. Everybody,
your big potato, I mean your big potatoes. Go ahead. I mean, if you want to peel them,
yeah.
I mean, I guess they're russets.
I don't know.
Okay. Chances they probably are a russet. Go ahead and you can either. Some people peel them first. Some people peel them second. You know, after they boil them.
I never peel them.
I like to peel it and then cut them into smaller chunks.
Yeah.
And then boil them because they just cook up faster.
Yeah, but see, now I like to leave the peelings on and
you
have
like
the
skins on.
Yeah, and mash them up that way.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, it's so good.
That's them.
Yeah.
Those are just as good too.
They
now,
are.
Now that's why I was asking what kind it was because you know I prefer I love Yukon Golds when you can get them.
Yeah.
And they're so great because you don't have to peel them or anything. Just get down to it.
Yeah.
A bachelor's delicacy. If it takes longer to cook it than it does to eat it, most bachelors don't want to mess with it.
What's good about our meal on Thursday is that everybody's, like I said, bringing something, and it's we're going to have a mixture of...
Oh, that helps the bunch.
Yeah, the potatoes that we're doing, and my mom is making two different types of stuffing, regular and one stuffing with sausage.
Oh.
Sausage.
Oh.
And then someone's bringing the turkey and the whole nine yards, but it's going to be good because I've never done Thanksgiving here at my house before. I'm going to do it this year, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that sounds great, Steve.
Thanks for your advice, Dave.
You're doing it the right way, brother.
Yep. Thank you, Dave, for your advice.
Hey, man, no problem, Steve. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care. Bye. Bye-bye. 866-666-7926. Why don't you tell them about the talking thermometer offer again before we forget it?
Talking thermometer, $27.50. Free priority mail shipping. If you order it tonight or tomorrow, probably tomorrow by 3 p.m. It'll go out in the evening mail, and you should have it by Wednesday.
Great. And don't forget the coupon code ACB Radio.
Coupon code ACB Radio. Order that thermometer with a Cooking in the Dark apron. And the Cooking in the Dark apron carries a $7.50 shipping charge. But if you order the apron and the thermometer, I'll give the $7.50 of shipping to ACB Radio if you put ACB Radio in the coupon code.
In the coupon code. Hey, we have
don't forget the Bart ornaments, man. Oh,
yeah.
Bart BQ, our mascot
Bart
turned
BQ.
Into a... He's a Christmas ornament or a sun catcher.
I just saw those on the site yesterday.
He is totally cute. I'm still waiting for my photographer to take a picture of it so I can get it up. But
very cool.
Yeah, he is totally cool, man. He's got his little ZZ Top sunglasses on because he is a Texas mouse.
We've got a caller. Let's bring him in and see whether they're a Texas mouse. Hi there. Happy Thanksgiving. You're with Dale and Marlena. Who's this?
Hello there, this is Timothy from Halifax.
Hi, Timothy from Halifax. Can you speak up a little bit?
I'm actually on the loudest possible.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm on a cordless, so.
Okay. Well, have you got a question for Dale?
No, I just wanted to say thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys in America.
Oh, well,
we already had our Thanksgiving.
Now, up there in Canada, as Dale would say, North Dallas. Do you guys make turkey and stuffing and all the trimmings like we do?
Yes, we do.
Yeah?
We do it earlier than you guys.
We
also do it on Christmas time, too.
What's your favorite Thanksgiving thing to
eat?
The dressing.
Yep.
Mmm.
And or the leg, the drumsticks.
Oh, I like the drumsticks, too. Yeah. Well, thank you for the Thanksgiving wish.
No problem.
And a belated happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, so.
Yeah, now, you know, I was talking to one lady, and when she makes her turkey, she always cuts the legs off and lays them in the pan, you know, in the roasting pan next to the bird.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why do you do that?
Yeah.
And she goes, well, my mom did it that way. Well, why does she do it that way? You know, why is it done like that? And she goes, well, I don't know. So she asked her mom, and her mom's like, well, that's the way my mom did it. Well, okay. So eventually they got to Grandma, and they asked Grandma, why did you do that? Why
yes.
did you cut the legs off and lay them in the neck? Because our roasting pan was too small for the bird. It's the only way the bird could fit.
Oh, that's funny. So that became a tradition.
It became this is the way you do turkey. You know,
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, we learn, and I'm sure Skylar's going to do some things that I do.
Oh,
in the kitchen,
funny.
And it may not be the right or the wrong way to do it, but it's just the way I do it.
Oh, my gosh,
so that's just
funny.
The way she has learned to do it, but I thought that was really cute.
That's really funny. I thought you were going to be telling me one of your Dale jokes here.
No, that was a true story.
Wow, I was getting nervous there, Dale, because we haven't had one tonight, you know.
No, I'm saving them.
Oh, phew.
I've got some, but I can't tell them.
Oh, yes, because this is a family show.
Well, I can tell this one. You know, this lady was asking her nephew, her little nephew was about three, asking her, you know, seeing if he knew his colors.
Yeah.
Well, what color is that? You know, what's that color? You know, blah, blah, blah. Finally, after about five or six of these, a little boy says, you know, I think you need to try to figure this out for yourself.
Oh, gosh.
He got tired of answering, hey, I know these colors, man.
Oh,
apparently you don't, though.
Yeah, apparently you don't. All right, so we were talking about, the last thing we were talking about was steaming the turkey. That was interesting.
Yeah, now I think that is an awesome little thing to do.
Yeah.
I tell you, let's hop over to, how about deep frying a turkey?
Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
Deep frying a turkey is my favorite type of turkey.
You want a moist turkey, man. That is so moist.
You need like, they actually sell now like big outdoor turkey rigs.
Yeah.
And if I remember right, it's Northern Tool Traders. I think their website is northerntool.com, but that's where I got my rig from. And it's a stand, the butane tank, the burner, and like a 30-quart pot. And you need a big pot to get your big bird in there. But deep frying, the basics are get your grease up to 350 degrees. And it's recommended to use either peanut oil or olive oil for the frying. You can get both in like big 5-gallon containers like at a Sam's or a Walton's or, you know, at some of the discount wholesale shops.
So should I use 5 gallons in my...
No. Good point. What you want to do is you want to put your bird in the pot first and fill it with water.
Okay.
And once it comes about, the water gets about an inch over the bird... Take the bird out, and then, you know, if you want to measure from the top down to the water level or just put a mark, you know, if somebody's there sided with you, put a mark or whatever. But then that tells you how much oil to put in the pot.
Ah, okay.
Dump the water out, dry it out real well, fill it with oil to that line, and then you're ready to go.
Okay.
So that way you don't fill it up, and then you throw your bird in, and all of a sudden you've got 350-degree grease spilling out everywhere.
Yeah.
Not a good thing. Once you go to start putting your bird in, be it if you marinate it, if you don't stuff it, You can bread it, though, if you want to.
Ooh, I bet that's
which
good.
Is a unique idea for a turkey. I mean, if you threw out a, you know, a breaded turkey that looked like something from Colonel Sanders, somebody would be saying, "Man, that's a hell of a chicken."
I reckon.
But drop it in. And one thing that's nice about this turkey rig, it comes with a base. You know, it's the diameter of the bottom of the pot, and it's flat with holes in it, of course, so the grease can get through. And then in the middle, it has like a tree sticking up, if you will, just a long metal probe that you actually slide the bird over. The top of that has a loop, and you get a little hook, so you can actually, you know, grab the bird and pull him out without having to reach in this hot grease.
Yeah.
Submerse the bird, but when you're putting him in, you got to put him in real slow. Because, I mean, that grease will start popping and cacking, man. It'll start talking to you when you start putting that bird in there. But you let it go for 3 minutes and 15 seconds per pound. And that's it.
Wow.
So,
and it's delicious.
A 20-pound bird is going to take just a little over an hour to cook.
Yeah, it is. It's a delicious.
It is.
Oh, boy.
It immediately sears that skin and seals all the juices inside the bird.
Yeah.
It cooks, you know, through the inner cavities. I mean, oh, it's great. When you pull it out, you want to pull it out and wrap it in foil for about 30 to 45 minutes, again, to let it rest, let the juices set.
Sure.
And then let the vultures come forth.
Yeah, like me. Hey,
man, I'm telling you, you would have been in the crowd fighting an elbow and tooth.
I would have.
I'm sorry?
I said I definitely would have.
Oh, man. We test drove that thing right after we got it last year. And we invited the neighbors over, and, you know, we carved a bunch of the meat and stuff and threw that on the table. And Candace was in the kitchen with the carcass. She was just picking and eating and just happy.
I like Candace. Hey, we have a call. Let's bring him in.
All right.
Hi there. Happy Thanksgiving. You're with Dale and Marlena. Who's this?
Hi, this is David from Chicago. How are you?
Hey, David. How are you in the Windy City?
Well, freezing.
Oh, no.
Shut your doors, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're lousy. We got the heat.
Quick question for you. Did the Bears win today?
Huh?
Did the Bears win?
Oh, yeah. They smoked the Jets.
All right.
Oh, good.
That's great. That's who we get next week is the Jets.
Yeah. You guys should be in there pretty easy.
Well, we had Buffalo today, and we snatched defeat right out of the jaws of victory one more time. We won't get into that.
I didn't even watch the Seahawks today. I don't know how they
You guys, you didn't want to.
Okay. Well, moving right on to David's question. Yes.
I just have a question. My wife and I were talking about cooking a turkey, but we have a 22-pounder.
Ooh.
Large. I love turkey, but we have a lot of people. We wanted to cook it like a long period of time, like some people cook it overnight. Do you ever hear something like that? Do you ever recommend something like that?
Yes. You can actually drop your oven temperature to, say, around 185 to 200 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to try to lower your racks. You can actually almost turn your oven into, quote-unquote, its own smoker.
Okay.
Without the smoke.
Right.
But lower your racks to where the bird will fit in, and if you can, slide in another pan of water.
Okay.
Underneath it, right?
Like a cake pan or, you know, something like that underneath on the rack below the bird.
Okay.
And let it go for roughly about 40 minutes per pound.
Oh, okay. That'll take a long. That'll be good because we're going to the parade here in Chicago on Thursday morning, and we would never made it back home to rescue it if we did it regular time. So we're thinking, boy, we better do it.
A 22-pound turkey, even in a roasting bag, is going to, gosh, it would take probably, what is that, for almost 6 hours?
Can you cook it that way in a roasting bag, Dale?
Yeah, you could.
Because some people cook them in brown paper bags?
Yes.
I've heard my cousin does it in a T-shirt.
A T-shirt?
Yes. He puts a T-shirt over it and then sticks about 10 tons of butter over it and just lets it cook like that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. The brown paper bag method, I think, is maybe what enticed Reynolds to start producing these other baking bags. But, you know, that's a great suggestion. Just if you can get a baking bag, put it in the baking bag, put water in the bottom of it, and, again, just let it go.
That's like steaming it because it'll, it won't be crispy. Because then you like, if you want the crispy skin, you probably have to take it out of the bag and let it sit a while. I mean, let it cook more.
Right. Or I tell you what, too, man. I mean, you might, you know, that steam roasted method we just talked about. That'll do that. That'll cook that bird in about 2.5 hours.
Oh my. Yeah. Well, I do appreciate it, Dale. You know, I'm a new listener to your show, and I enjoy it thoroughly, so it's great.
Ring that bell, Marlene.
Yeah, wait a minute. I'm looking for it. Wait a minute. We got 24.
Well, thanks, amigo. Hey, do you listen to us? You listen to us on ACB Radio up there?
Yes, I'm listening to you right now.
Fantastic.
Well,
yeah,
well,
great show.
And David, just before our show, the hour before, no, 2 hours before I'm on, Dale has his own weekly hourly show right here, right where you are now on ACB Radio.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I'm always trying to find different things to listen to, and I found this website, and now I'm like, oh, great. Now my emails get full of people sending me recipes. I'm inundated.
Very cool.
Yes, but it's great. I love it. This is great for someone who's blind. It's a great program, and I'm glad it's out there.
Well, very cool, and I hope you'll call my show again.
I will, and happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays to
you
all.
All right, you
and
too.
And, hey, David, if you're on the Cooking in the Dark list, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'm going to be posting all these turkey tips or these turkey notes that I have.
Okay.
And I will also post Vicky's method for steam roasting a turkey.
Okay. Great.
And I mean, if you want to try it, I have never tried it, but
well,
I want to. And I don't think there would be any problem. She, in fact, says in her notes that she did a 22-pound turkey this way,
wow,
and it came out perfect.
Wow. Wow.
And it took basically like about 2.5 hours.
Wow, that's amazing.
Wow.
Okay, from
to do
4 hours to 2.5.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
Well,
wonderful.
Have fun at that parade.
I will.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Thanks, David.
Bye-bye.
I've asked Gary, the board guy, to close the lines because we've only got about 5 minutes and an itch left. So I want to give you time to wrap our dinner up.
Wrapping it up, I would be popping my belt right now.
Yeah, me too,
getting
man.
Getting the clicker and hopefully watching the Cowboys.
The Cowboys? I don't want to watch the Cowboys.
Oh, I do. As long as they're getting beat.
Oh, okay. Okay. Hey, that's a bell ring.
Now, before everybody in Dallas starts getting on my case, I'm a Texans fan. I'm a Houston Texans fan.
Yeah, well.
I do not root for any other team. I wish I could. But
before anybody gets on, my case, it's too bad.
Yeah, that's right.
It's too bad. I'm a Washington Redskins fan, Seattle Seahawks fan. It's too bad.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's great, man. I love it, too, the NFL. But, you know, folks, turkey time and Thanksgiving, oh, great food, great desserts, great family togetherness. You know, it's all good, I guess. Now, my family, we had a tradition. We'd all get together for Christmas dinner and Thanksgivings. And if there was a stranger or somebody new to the mix that we would bring in, and, of course, we're talking, let's see, my grandparents, there were 8 on one side and 4 on the other side, and, you know, then all their kids and all their stuff. I mean, we had a huge house full.
Wow.
And inevitably, somebody new would come every year.
Wow.
And we would constantly pick on them.
Of course.
You know, I mean, from putting salt in their tea to, like, stealing food off their plates. One time, a friend of mine went back with me for the holidays, and he was sitting down. He'd got him a piece of chocolate pie, and he had a paper plate, and he was holding in his hand, just getting ready to stick his fork in it to take a bite. And my uncle walked by, pushed down on the front side of his plate, held his plate underneath, and that piece of pie went rolled off and flopped right onto his plate.
That's funny.
Cracked me up.
That's
funny. But the best one was my cousin, who was raised in our family, came in, and, of course, you know, you've got the long tables, everybody's sitting and eating. He came in, set his food down. I was, like, across from him. His brother was on one side of me. His other brother was on the other side of me. My mom was, you know, to his left, and his dad was to his right. And he said, oh, I got to go get a fork. We didn't even, the conversation never stopped.
Oh,
we just immediately started eating off his plate.
Oh.
He came back, his plate was empty. So what did he do? He went through the line, came back, set it down. Oh, and he went to go get a glass of tea. He came back again, plate was empty. Said a few choice words, grabbed his plate, came back, and he started to sit down where we were at. He's like, I ain't trusting you.
Yeah,
I walked on, but
that's
we're
funny.
Already full.
That's funny. That's
but, you
funny.
Know, one of the favorite things at Thanksgiving that it reminds me of is my grandma for homemade egg noodles. And every year we could count on a huge pot of egg noodles.
Oh, yum.
Mm. Home, I mean, just, you know, like, Grandma, you got to show me how to make these. Well, it's, you know, just some flour and some eggs and a little salt.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, okay. You know, because you know how it is. She's been making them for you. Just a pinch of this and a little bit of that.
Yeah.
She could tell by the consistency of the dough if it needed this or needed that. And then she'd roll them out and let them dry and then roll them up and cut the noodles.
Oh,
and, oh my gosh, just excellent, excellent, excellent. But since she's passed, now Mom has got the ball. So
well,
I have got to learn how to do noodles.
Well,
and then I can teach everybody how
to
do them.
Yeah, and we'll look forward to that. And I wish you a very joyful Thanksgiving.
Oh, to you, too. You guys have a great one. Your new Poochie, everything's working out well?
Yeah, she's a sweetie.
Fantastic.
A sweetie.
Yeah, that's great. I'll be doing that in March. And then I wish they had a SIN card, don't you?
Yeah, I know.
You
just stick it in their ear, yeah.
Then
yeah.
The new one will know everything that Kelsey knows and where to go. And it's going to be a long couple of years.
Well, I'm going to be in touch with you next week for another brief appearance on my vendor show coming up. All right?
That'll be great.
So
That'll be great. And Tim wanted me to talk to you about cookies.
Okay.
I think we're going to record like the week after next.
All right.
So we'll slap you. We'll put an apron on you and get you some flour and get you in the kitchen.
Oh, all right. Sounds good to me.
All right. Well, Marlena, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much,
for
Dale.
The Wangody Tangody Turkey Show.
Yeah, the Wangody Tangody Turkey Show.
There we go, man.
Okay, man.
All right. Have
Take
a great
care,
one.
Dale. Thanks
Bye.
So much. Bye-bye. Well, that's just about wrapped it up. Wasn't that a great show tonight? Dale is always so incredibly entertaining. Next week, I believe we're going to have with us the host of the newest edition right here on the mainstream called Disability Nation. So stay tuned for that. And wherever you are, eat well, be safe, and if you're in North America, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks so much for listening. You've been listening to the Marlena Program, heard this time each week at the mainstream on ACB Radio. I hope you'll come back again next week and join me. And in the meantime, if you've got an idea for a program you'd like us to air or a guest you'd like us to invite to the show, why not drop me an email? My email address is Marlena. That's spelled M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A at acbradio.org. It has been a joy to have been with you this week, and I want to thank the people that helped make it all possible. They include Chrissy Cochran in the UK, and the ACB radio team from Australia to Arizona, and of course, Gary the board guy in the other room. Without them, the show wouldn't be possible. So do come back again next week. Same time, same place, right here at the mainstream on ACB Radio. Till then, have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.